My name is Father Thomas Joseph White. I'm from the Thomistic Institute in Washington, D.C. I'm here with Father Legg, and who's in the back. And we're so happy to have such an esteemed group of speakers and a wonderful audience here today for this event. Why have a conference now about the future of Catholicism in America? After all, there will always be a future for Catholicism in America. I think we could, in some ways, posit three factors or three questions that prompt this conference. To name one, in a rather, I'd say, somewhat coarse way, but it's helpful, especially in our American spirit, which refers often to law, it has to do with precedents on the legal horizon that have been created in recent years. The way that the mandate for universal health care was structured so as to oblige conformity with the Obama administration's concerns that Catholic entities in some way cooperate, however remotely, however proximately, with the distribution of services that they consider morally objectionable. The Obergefell decision, which has massive impacts on the way we construe marriage in the country and ensure it and cooperate with it legally, as well as adoption services. And we can think now about the recent case still ongoing about the Little Sisters of the Poor, which has rather severe implications because, well, let's put it this way. If you're willing to act on the Little Sisters of the Poor with governmental force, you're willing to act on anybody. So there are legal precedents that raise the question, but those are in a certain way secondary features. The more primary issue is that we are looking increasingly at the development of a cultural ethos that I might label as post-Protestant America, where the predominant ethos for so many centuries has been Protestant, and you have the rise of the knowns, the non-affiliated post-Christian youth, who have increasingly strong sympathies with the secular liberal ethos, and in which then the Catholic Church's whole culture and mission and identity is often understood as something foreign. I was talking to a very prominent philosopher this week, and someone asked her, what's the difference between the academy 30 years ago and the academy now for Christians? And she said, 30 years ago, you had to prove that a Christian was intelligent in the elite academic sphere. You don't have to do that today. Today, the problem is that Christians are seen as dangerous. And so there's the sobering questions about to what extent are we approximating in our own liberal American way some developments that have happened in the secularization of Europe and the marginalization of the church and culture. And then a third question, I think, is about our own internal development. It's certainly the case that Marxist communism is no longer really a relevant feature of modern political life. But with the triumph of secular liberal market economy capitalism, the church has her own challenges and maybe even temptations to make a concordat with the modern revolutions of sexual revolution, modern economic ethos, that in some ways could compromise her mission, or if you might put it this way, she's seeking her own identity in the midst of our new political and cultural situation, and we saw another instance of that, important instance of that this week with the new apostolic exhortation and the questions of the internal dynamics and identity in the Catholic Church. So those are the three features that are behind the conference. We've established a very remarkable panel of experts to weigh in. And let me just say, as we start the first session, how this will work. We have two moderators today. Rusty Reno is one. He's the chief editor of First Things Magazine, director of the Institute for Religion and Public Life. The other is Mary Eberstadt, a very esteemed and well-known author, but you might not know that she's about to come out with a very important, interesting book from Harper called It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. We have flyers showing the book. Then there's material about this interesting work on the table in the refreshments room. So one of them will introduce each speaker. And at the end of the talk, the one who's introduced the speaker will be the first person to sort of initiate a conversation, to make some observations, and to maybe then transition us into a brief period of questions and answers. And we'll proceed that way during the day. And so, to introduce our first speaker, I'd like to ask Rusty Reno to come forward.